Hello, it's Matt, and this is a Proud podcast. They're very rarely taught in education, and few companies teach their staff. So, what are the five core business skills that we all need to develop? I am recording this podcast in May 2020, and we are still very much in the depths of COVID-19 crisis. So I hope, as you listen to this, you are well and your loved ones are keeping safe. In previous podcasts that I have recorded, I wanted to share useful ideas on how to help you while you are in lockdown. An episode with Amanda Richmond, who is a private tutor, to try and get some ideas of how to help our children at home. If we have children and they're not happy and occupied, then trying to concentrate on working remotely from home is a big challenge. I spoke with Frank Daniels about how to prevent and deal with anxiety and stress, which is an obvious subject to explore for many of us, particularly at this time. So what am I going to share with you today? Organisations want their staff or service suppliers to be highly skilled, but only a few invest the necessary resources required to get the results they desire from their people. If you want to become more valuable to your employer, or if you're a business owner, your clients and the marketplace, then what do we need to learn? So this is a Proud podcast. I am Matthew Broomhead. And as you are listening to this, shall we find out what are the five core business skills? This is part one of exploring my five proud core business skills, and based on my Make You and Your Organisation Proud ebook guide that I wrote in 2016. Obviously, COVID-19 crisis has affected how we do business, but all the principles apply. Whether you used to speak in front of 2,000 people at conferences, or are now video calling a handful of people from your living room. When there is a widely available antibody test to show that a person has had COVID-19 and wide consensus that if you've had it, you're not likely to be reinfected or infect someone else, then public mixing will slowly start again with those who have recovered from the illness. It will take time as people have been at home for a significant period, long enough to create a new habitual behaviour of using other methods of communication, i.e. video conferencing, phoning, emailing and texting more. Once a safe and fully tested vaccine is created and widely rolled out, then more confidence will return and people will be prepared to start mixing and wanting to generate business. I'm reluctant to say when things go back to normal, because frankly, they won't. Lots of small and large businesses won't survive, and self-employed freelance workers won't have the same work to go back to. So therefore, and this is the important part, our level of skill, resilience, creativity and adaptability will be paramount. When people can start moving around and exchanging more value, the economy will start to grow again. When this happens, our skill level will determine how we show up and start to inspire others, and how we show our value to those that want to buy. If you have used your time in lockdown to develop your skills, then you will have a significant advantage over those that have not. Even before the dreadful COVID-19 crisis started, most people knew the world and technology was rapidly changing. Not that long ago, we could turn up at work, be told what work to do, and complete it. In doing so, we fitted perfectly into the old industrial model. However, things were changing. We're moving into the connection economy. Automation, outsourcing and offshoring were all competing with our once safe job for life. So as someone that understands the importance of being as valuable to the marketplace as possible, you will appreciate the importance of us all developing our business skills. What change am I trying to make in the professional and financial services sector? Over many years, I've come across talented people that couldn't get the backing they needed because they were so nervous when presenting their ideas. individuals unable to meet the right contacts because they didn't have the networks to support them. Good people that were trying to make a positive difference but didn't understand the importance of leadership and its stages. So I am on a mission to raise the level of business skills in Britain. This free podcast is part of that work, and it consists of essential transferable skills learnt from my eclectic mix of experience. It is divided into my 5 core business skills that make up the acronym PROUD. P, presenting. How comfortable are we publicly speaking in front of a group of people? How engaged are our listeners? Whether that is via video conferencing at the moment in May 2020 or in public context sometime, hopefully, in the not too distant future. R, relationships. Most people know that our net worth equals our network. But how do we make the most of business networking? O, outcomes. Setting goal outcomes. It has been said that if we don't have a plan for our lives, someone else will. Unfortunately, we're never taught how to properly set goal outcomes. U, understanding. We will find out the truth about how to influence our clients and colleagues, and a simple technique to help make suggestions that are more easily accepted. D, direction. This relates to leadership. Organisations say they want their people to have leadership skills, so what are the 3 stages of leadership? Congratulations! Before we start exploring how to help make you and your organisation proud, let me first start by congratulating you on taking the time to listen to this podcast. There are other demands on your time, but you are clearly someone that realises that to be successful in the marketplace, we have to have the highest level of skills we can. It has been said that if you are not willing to learn, no one can help you. If you are determined to learn, no one can stop you. Another quote that relates to the importance of learning skills was from a man named Zig Ziglar. And he said this: even though what you do between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. is important, what will determine what you will be doing between those times in the future is what you do between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. By listening to this podcast, taking on board the ideas, and then implementing them into your day-to-day working life will significantly benefit your career. Presenting the 5 stages of persuasive public speaking. One of the most important skills that will impact our effectiveness as a leader is our ability to manage our nerves, speak clearly, and present confidently in front of a group of people. To be able to paint pictures, to influence and explain our vision and get buy-in from our staff, team or clients is essential. The ability to speak to a group of people enhances our credibility, is much more time efficient than numerous one-to-ones, and ensures more people get an identical message at the same time. In spite of that, feeling nervous or lacking confidence in a speaking context is incredibly common. If this sounds familiar, therefore, you should know that you are not alone. Thankfully, there is something that can be done about it. Presenting and pitching is a skill, and like any skill, it can be improved. One of the reasons I designed and started delivering my Love Presenting Skills sessions was that I sat in an audience and heard a chairman start his opening talk on his vision for the organisation with the following few sentences. Settle down, settle down. I don't want you to worry, as this won't take too long and you'll be able to leave early. Hopefully it won't be too boring for you. Just think of the devastation that those 2 simple sentences are actually saying. He was unintentionally suggesting to the audience to emotionally worry that the talk would probably be long, It was also suggesting to think about leaving even before they've started, and that it'll be boring. The audience may as well get up and leave, as it's uphill from there. Even though I've been president-elect of an international speakers club and coach leaders to speak in front of audiences of thousands of people, I'm coming from a place of experience and, unfortunately, I know I have made similar mistakes in the past, and I consistently hear it from people speaking to groups. Therefore, the purpose of this chapter is to explore the five stages to becoming a persuasive public speaker and to help ensure we all have more impact when speaking to groups. Starting at stage one, where someone is okay speaking on a one-to-one basis, but nervous and reluctant to speak in front of a group. Moving through to finishing on stage five, where the listeners in the audience are emotionally moved and decide to think and behave differently. Some of the stages may seem obvious, but there will be some key ideas that, if considered, will significantly improve how we inspire and communicate publicly with groups. A number of years ago, when I shared this idea with the president of a speakers club, she wrote back to me saying that she loved the five stages, as it highlighted that we all start at stage one, but have the potential to reach four or even five. As you will hear in this podcast, I like using alliteration and similar letters for my concepts. So, what are the five stages to becoming a persuasive public speaker? Stage one, pushed. Stage two, propose. Stage three, present. Stage four, pay attention. And stage five, persuade. Stage one, pushed. People at this first stage do not volunteer to speak, but get forced or are obligated to speak. They are very concerned with formal feedback, including happy sheets, and require external validation for the ideas they share. They are very focused on their own emotions, which are predominantly a feeling of being nervous. The only evaluation will tend to be self-deprecating, with the aim to avoid speaking publicly in the future, if at all possible. Everyone that speaks publicly starts at this stage. Stage 2, propose. People at this second stage take initiative and are nervous, but volunteer to speak. They tend to stick to slides, whether that is keynote, PowerPoint or Prezi, etc. They have some structure and planning, but most people never go beyond this stage. Stage 3, present. People that have developed to stage 3 tend to be nervous at the start, but once they get going, then they settle into what they are doing. They have a variety of visual ways of presenting, i.e. slides, flip chart, whiteboard. Personally, I think using a flip chart or other type of board requires more confidence and competence than using a pre-prepared slide, because it involves more uncertainty and a bit of creativity. In stage 3, their talks are well structured. They know exactly where to put Q&A, which is different to where the vast majority of people put it. They are confident enough to handle their own Q&A and don't rely on the host, if there is a host. They understand the psychological importance of asking someone to introduce them at the start. And finally, they plan and practice interesting introductions and clear endings. Stage 4, pay attention. There are very few people at this fourth stage. At this level, the speaker engages with the group who are actively listening and want to hear more. Their listeners ask relevant questions. As well as a variety of visual methods of showing information, they will be comfortable using props. Appropriate use of humour, storytelling, and a full understanding of the principle of closure using language. They're personable and relatable. They are aware of intentionally using the power of presuppositions and other influencing language. They will self-evaluate using the three evaluation questions to ensure that next time it will be even better. Furthermore, they will seek evaluation from a trusted expert. Note that I did not say friend. The main way to get better is to self-learn using input from those that are public speakers themselves and understand audiences. Stage 5, persuade. The final stage I have labelled persuade. The hardest thing to do with an audience is to create intentional and proactive emotion. Having performed a little stand-up comedy in the past, I know making an audience laugh is not easy, but emotionally moving someone to tears because what you said has touched them in some way is much, much harder. A person at stage 5 is congruent in their message. They are someone that believes what they are saying and not fake it until you make it. They are passionate and what they share sticks in the minds for a long time. They say or show something that resonates with us so much that we say to ourselves, that's the day I decided enough was enough and I decided to do X. Subsequently, they emotionally move their listeners to think and behave differently, having heard them speak. The only formal feedback they are really concerned with is from the buyer, which is the person that is paying them to speak. They are self-confident in who they are, the outcome they want, and the message they are sharing. They will be aware of instant feedback from the group as the session progresses and react appropriately. They are focused on the emotion of the audience and moving them from where they are at the start, whether that is skeptical or perhaps lethargic after lunch, to being curious and open to ideas, to then finally moving to inspiring action. Speakers at this fifth and final stage are very rare and are highly sought after. Great organisations will hire people with this level of skill because they understand the value it can add to their people. So having listened to these 5 stages of persuasive public speaking, then you may be wondering to yourself, which stage am I on? To put this in context, a lot of people don't even publicly speak and consequently aren't even on stage 1. If you are speaking to groups, particularly video conferencing at the moment, whatever stage you are on is something to celebrate. The real question to ask ourselves is not which stage am I currently on, but which stage do I want to be on in the future? And what am I going to do today to get there? What article or book am I going to read? What video am I going to watch? Who can I learn from? If you're serious about your leadership development, then you'll be looking for help from a trusted, experienced person. We all need someone, whether that's a coach, mentor, or highly skilled colleague, that can proactively evaluate how we present and also plan the structure and language needed to achieve our objectives of speaking to a group of people, whether that is 2, 20 or 200 people. Let me finish this section by saying this. Virtually everyone that shares their ideas, cares about what they are saying, and is expanding their comfort zone will get some sort of nerves. It is how our brains are wired. I always remember having dinner with an accomplished international speaker and author just before he was going to speak in front of 800 people at an event. He said this: anyone that says they don't get nervous before a talk is lying. Everyone gets butterflies. The only difference between me and most people is that mine fly in formation. The task for this first chapter is to determine which of the 5 stages of persuasive public speaking are you currently on. So as a reminder, stage 1, pushed, stage 2, propose, stage 3, present, stage 4, pay attention, stage 5, persuade. The task for this first chapter is to determine which of the 5 stages of persuasive public speaking are you currently. Then write down one action that you will take to help you towards reaching the next stage. For example, if you're on stage 1, pushed, then what can you do to get onto the propose stage, number 2? You might want to listen back to these 5 stages again to get an idea of the different levels. And then write down where you think you are, how confident you feel when you speak, what kind of reaction to get from your audience. That'll determine which level you are at, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And then from that, decide what are you going to do? What's one thing that you can do today that will help you move up to the next stage? Good luck. So that was part one of a series of five core business skills of Proud, and it was presenting. So it gives you a clearer idea of where you are in the five stages of persuasive public speaking, and consequently what to do to have greater impact on your marketplace and the people you care about through being seen as an expert in your sector. There's also a task which I suggest you have a go at to help you move from where you currently are to where you want to get to. I like using alliteration and acronyms. So let's see if you can hear this last one in this sentence. Unless we decide to take action, get some results, and then evaluate the effectiveness, then this podcast will just have been entertainment at best. Go on, I dare you to decide to take action to improve your professional career. Decide, action, results, evaluate, dare. Dare to be different, dare to create, dare to make a difference. I wish you all the success you're prepared to work for, and that the people you influence on a regular basis will start to see the many untapped talents that you have. See you on the next one. Take care and stay safe. If you like this podcast episode, then feel free to share it with those that you care about. If you haven't already subscribed, then click on the relevant button so you don't miss out and always get the latest episode. I'm Matthew Broomhead, and this is a Proud podcast.